Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Baseball season is back, and the Podcast Park has the best local baseball podcast to help get you ready for another season. Check out the Braves Country Podcast, where we dig deep into the soil of life in the Southeast, the people, the music, the food, and of course, Braves baseball. Or try Hardball with Chris Domino, the long-running baseball history series with in-depth conversations from the players and people that shape the game. And KMAC has the latest Braves updates every week with a Frozen Rope Report. Get these and all of our podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All brought to you in part by Associated Credit Union.
The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, three-pointer. Buries it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
It is the Big Shot Bob podcast. Oh, my goodness. I am extremely excited for today's show.
I am too.
I am all kinds of excited for today's show. Oh my goodness. We're joined by an NBA legend, not seven-time NBA champ Robert Ory, because yeah, of course he's with us every week, but arguably one of my all-time favorite players, the last enforcer, Charles Oakley. Welcome to the show, Oak.
Thank you. How y'all guys doing?
Man, what up, doing? Bro? What's happening, Mr. Oakley?
Man, look like the man who got one of my rings. Get my ring, man.
Tell you. So let me. By the way, Oak's book is amazing. If you got to go out and check out Charles' new book, is The Last Enforcer, which if you're an NBA fan like us, absolutely yes. Have to read this book because it's just so loaded with great stories. But I'm going to open the floor for Robert Ory to start with an apology to Charles Oakley. So go ahead.
Hey, Charles, I want to apologize for something, man. It's not even about, you know, taking one of your rings from you, but it's a situation where, you know, you get caught in the moment. And right. I was telling these guys about it. I got to have Charles on because I want to apologize to him because you get caught up in the moment. When we were playing you guys, I can't remember if it was game 6 or 7. We did the inbounds play. And it was a lob out of bounds to me, and I dunked. And I kind of screamed in your face. And I went back down the court. I was like, man, what the fuck was I thinking? I said, I'm shocked he didn't knock me out, man. But you know, you get caught up in the moment. I'm like, I want to apologize, man, right here for letting my emotions get the best of me, man.
He's one of my guys. My cousin played, you know, Alabama. So he was on your team, Marcus Campbell. So back in the days, I treat you like a homie. So it was all good. I know it wasn't like over the top like some guys. So you got a pass. It's okay.
Thank you, my brother.
There you go.
Blessings to you.
The air is clear.
I told these guys this story, man. They were dying laugh. I was like, man, that was probably the dumbest thing I ever did.
Well, I mean, Charles will tell you, the book is Last Enforcer. You were like the last enforcer in those days of the NBA. And you had those guys like Rob and other guys who just, they knew how tough you were. I think the coolest thing so far I've read in the book, and I've read a pretty good amount of it, is the foreword by Mike. Just right. To know that you and Mike had that kind of relationship and he's got that much respect for you is just out of control awesome.
Well, basically, you know, play with the GOAT. We've been friends for so many years. It's just like Roy, go to Akeem. Akeem would do the same thing for him. Yeah, this guy won championship together, been war together. And in life, you got to cherish things like this. And I called him and said, hey, he said, no problem. 3 days, 4 days later, sent it back to me. I said, thank you. You know, we still friends. we don't get together like we used to, but in this book, you know, we talk about some things we used to do together. And like I said, when you start raising family, raising kids, you got to give them space.
Yeah. For me, I want to know that because I've been approached about writing a book. And so my question to you, how long did it take you to come up with the material, get everything situated, and actually get this from start to finish? How long did it take you?
Well, basically, I had a lot of, you know, I remember most of it, you know, and again with Frank to write it, you know, 2 hours here, 2 hours there. And once we really got into it, it didn't take that long because I had all the details. You know, when you get all the detail, I got Frank because he was a beat writer and he knew me for playing with the Knicks days. So he had an understanding of me. And so we worked so good together. So when you get good chemistry, things can go well.
I've learned a lot about you reading this book, and I thought I knew a lot about you as a player, but yeah. There's just so many amazing stories. How did you know LeBron was leaving Cleveland before that happened?
You know, he's from Ohio, and I knew him since he was like in you know, high school. And that summer, I've been around him a couple of times, but when that season started, I had seen him, and they said, the first two games are going to be Orlando and Miami. I said, I'm coming down. He said, come on down. So that night I got down there. We all went to, first game of the season. Some of his teammates went to the steakhouse, had a steak. That I sit around and talk about stories and stuff. Then the next night, I knew they was going to Miami. I said, well, I'm coming down there. And, I drove there. I was driving, the team leave after the game. But when I got to the game, I called Tim, Pat Riley's assistant, told him I need 2 tickets. No problem. Pat Riley coached me in New York. But at halftime, Pat Riley got on a sweep in the back. And I said, I got something to tell you. He's like, what, Oak? And I said, it's a guy you're playing against tonight thinking about coming here. He said, huh. I said, yeah, okay, huh. So, and go on to that. Next thing you know, the next year, when he had the press conference, heading to Miami. And everybody was like, you knew that all the time? I knew it all the time.
It's amazing when you have those inside connections and what guys want to do. Right. And think about that is when you have that type of reputation you have as being just an all-around great guy. And right. I've never heard anything bad about Charles. He's just a great guy. He's going to have your back. And so sometimes that comes into fruition by someone else who brought you along. Like my guy growing that taught me everything was Otis Thorpe and Tree Rollins. Who was that guy that kind of took you on when you first got in the league?
Well, I think, a lot of my toughness and attitude come from my grandfather. Once I got into the league, it was 3 power forwards in front of me, Sidney Green, David Greenwood, and Juwan Oldham. But Sidney Green, we got it off. We hit it off real good early because when you get drafted, you go to that city for the first week, and they send you back. They come back in about a month, plan on staying. So when I went to Historic Black College, where I got drafted, number 9 in the top 10, that was a surprise. But when I went to Chicago to visit, do my press, and meet, the GM and the owner, whatever, I told them, I'm staying the whole, they said, you can leave and come back. I said, no, I'm staying. Because my thing is, I was on the card, but I wanted to show them that I was dedicated. I want to put the work and time in to be there.
Yeah, that's the key for me. I remember when I got drafted by Houston, I was like, where you going? I said, I'm out, man. I said, I'm at college. I got in to stay here for my rent's due. I'm about to leave. I'm out. And I think that shows a sign of respect to those older guys. Because I know when I was there, Dream was like, oh, you the guy we drafted. Okay, let's go down to Fondy and play. Fondy was this little small gym. They used to call it the hot box. It'd be so hot in there. You had all these guys playing. And, that's when I think I gained the respect because – as soon as you got there, you start, talking trash to people. You know how guys are. They try to test you. They try to elbow you, see how you're going to react. And I said, you jump back up and you elbowing back. Said, hey, I ain't with that shit. Once you say that to them, they're like, oh, okay. He knows what he's doing. So I think it's a big difference nowadays because now everybody's with trainers. They're training, individual trainers. They don't get out there and get that camaraderie with guys and play and get beat up and learn how to, become true enforcers or just – gritty players like in the 90s and in the early 2000s.
I remember in the summertime, I came to Houston and played when Lucas had everybody organized to play in the summer. So that's what we did. I went to Washington, played Chicago. Guys wanted to go where the talent was, so they wanted to see what they had to do the next year to get better.
Exactly.
They wanted to go against competition, not with playing 2-on-2, 3, not really. Guys played pickup like it was game time. So that's how that's how you build from back when you was like, wow, I got to come ready every day, every second, no matter where I'm at. You get that from the veterans. Back then, guys got hurt. You ain't come out and get your job because the next guy behind you wasn't giving that job up.
You know, Rob just spoke about like the old days, the 80s, 90s, even early 2000s, about the physicality. And obviously nowadays, you know, you can barely sneeze on a dude without getting the tech. Would, you know, when you look at games nowadays, you know, you can't hand check, you can't do a lot of stuff that you used to do. Do you, would you like to see the game go back to a certain level of physicality that you had to experience in order? I mean, how do you look at the game now from a physical standpoint?
It's definitely not physical as it used to be. I just want to get a little more physical, go back to the more of like in and out, instead of all the running around shooting threes. Like Akeem was the best in and out of the post. So I think that's how they beat us in the 7-game series because he trusts their guys. Sam Cassell, Roy, outside hit the shot. He never shot in a double team. And that's when we messed up. We did shoot in a double team. And but I definitely wanted to see the game get a little more physical. I want the guys to get more smarter, wiser, realize a turnover is a value, free throws are value. That's what they don't value in this game. They shoot, the guy be shooting 2 for 10 from the free throw line. And it feel like, you know, like, well, you, how are you missing free throw? It's a free throw. These shoot. Back in our era, you wouldn't have played the last 2 or 3 minutes. You shooting that bad from the free throw line. Right, Rob?
Yeah, even times feels like this. Should we keep Shaq in or not? Hold on now. Yeah, we got to sit him on this one, Phil. We up 15. We all right. We don't need no hack of Shaq.
Yeah, but, you know, but Shaq, but he was so dominant on both ends that, you know, you almost can live with it. But the other guy, if you ain't getting 25 and 15, no, you can't play the last 2 or 3 minutes. So it's one of the things.
It's funny, too, because we, you know, with all the years we, Brandon and I got to do a show with Shaq for a long time, and we always asked him, was like, is there ever a player, like, because he was so dominant, he was so physically big and tough, and was like, was there ever a player on the court that you're just like, man, I don't want any piece of him? And he would always say, Charles Oakley. Of all the dudes on the court, I would never cross Charles Oakley.
That's the thing going on. Somebody just asked not to cut you off, but just asked me up something about who, so about the Shaq thing. Shaq said, I'm number one on his list. They asked, who you want to go with? I said, I want to go against him because he said, I want him to be number one on my list.
Yeah,
I ain't like Floyd Mayweather. I'm not running from the competition. I want to go against the best.
Hey, but you know, it's weird. You say the list. It, for me, I said, shit, y'all had 3 guys on that list. You, Ewan, and Anthony Mason. I'm like, God, man. Yeah. After that series against you guys, man, I had 2 sprained wrists. I had a hairline fracture in my coccyx. I had 8 stitches in my wrist. And then I literally couldn't move for like 2 weeks after that. Before every game, I had to take like 3 BC powders. I had to take all this stuff, man, because I was so beat up after that series, man. So that was the toughest series I've ever played in my life.
That was so serious. But it's just like, if you watch the Kansas City and the Buffalo game, somebody just had to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The 2 quarterback played great, but like I say, Akeem outdid us. He made the right plays. Sam Cassell hit the 3, and it was all, oh, man.
Yeah.
It's, and just,
I forget, Dream got the big block too against Stark. So that was huge.
Most centers gonna stay back on that pick and roll.
Mm-hmm. You especially know? Centers nowadays, they be like, you can go ahead and shoot it.
Dream had a high IQ. Yeah. I mean, you can go by what he always, you know, playing both ends, ankle, special defense. I mean, he come back weak side help. But he just knew how to pass the ball at the block, and that was the key.
Yeah, it's just, it's so crazy to talk about those days of the Knicks and the Rockets, because the Knicks were like, Knicks and Detroit were the two teams in the league that were like the tough guy teams. Like, you didn't want to screw with either of them. And the Knicks now are just, I don't even know what to do with the Knicks now. They're all over the place. Where's your relationship with the New York Knicks? I know you and James had a little bit back and forth a while back, but. Where you stand with the Knicks?
My relationship more with the fans than with the organization, but I watch them from time to time. I have nothing against the team, but the problem is always upstairs. We still in litigation right now, so hopefully things can get better. But I mean, last year they finished 4th in the East. Right now they 12th in the East, so they got to fix that. Got to be chemistry and ball and the team play leadership. That's come with, you gotta have. This one, the leader for to step up now. Like, have a team meet and bring him back. If you look at this point of season last year and now, something's wrong. They got to figure it out. You know, it's the leadership. Again, I don't think the leadership is there, but I put a little bit on Thibodeau because he's a coach. He got to get that out of them.
Yeah, Thibodeau is one of those tough coaches. And I think sometimes you come in and you get a little high on the hog, so to say, and those guys, they had a great year last year. Julius Randle was kicking it, you know, killing it. And then now they had this situation where I think they didn't have that hunger because they said, oh, this was easy last year. We should improve on this season, and they're not. You know, and I don't think guys understand that. Like, each and every summer, you got to go in the lab, either add something to your game, reinvent yourself if it's not working, do something to make that team better. And when I look at this team, they didn't do – it's like none of them went home and during the summer worked on anything. They actually regressed, and they don't look the same. Julius Randle is not the same. Fournier is not the same. You know, Barrett is not the same. These guys, they don't look the same. Like, they don't have that same drive and hunger, and they need to fix it. So, but it's, you know, because I like to see, you know, I'm a big fan of Julius Randle when he's spending his time out here in L.A., but, you know, you always want to see those upper echelon teams. When I talk about upper echelon, I'm talking about when you mention their name, they just put a smile on your face. Knicks is one of them. So you want to see them in the playoffs. And with them being out of the playoffs, it's just it's still no fun because they got some of the best fans in the world, like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, they got to get it together because, you know, the fans, they're giving them a break. How long can they give a break?
Hey, it ain't gonna last long.
New York. I mean, when we played, we was winning and playing tough and hard. They got on our back. So think about you ain't winning and you ain't looking good. My thing is, it's a way to lose and a way to win. If you lose bad and you lose bad two or three games in a row, that's within the team. Somebody ain't putting out, and then you got to find who ain't putting out. Somebody got to stand up. Then the team mean. That's what we used to do. We got to call one another out and play. You got to play. You can't drop your head because somebody called you out. That's why you get better. If you can't see another thing about the league, these guys can't take criticism too. So I don't know what you're going to have to do to get back on the winning streak. But they let Memphis come in the house last night, get them. And they finna go to the West Coast trip, 5 or 6 game, going to be tough. So they're going to have to do something.
Yeah, it's going to be a long
time. Well, Oak, you know, for quite some time, the Knicks have been, you know, every offseason, you know, whenever there's a big free agent, could he go to the Knicks? Could he go here? Could he go? The Knicks are always in the run for a big name because it's a big market. You know, it's a big marquee name. But, I mean, what is it about the Knicks over the last few years that they can't land anybody? And do you think they'll land anybody in the next 2, 3, or 5 years?
You know what that is. You know what happens to the guard? They got to call Daddy to come in the garden, a marquee player. They got to talk to me, point blank. I'm not having it, sitting not having it. Hey, so they got the man up.
This is a guy somewhere down in the bayou that I think needs to go there and team up with his old college team, right? That's what they need to get him a little
Zion life. Zion
Yes.
Zion? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Zion got to get in shape.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah.
You can bring him and Julius ain't really too much different than their game.
Julius, you ain't gonna be able to get Zion for free now. So I'm saying. Yeah. Julius should team back up with his old Laker buddies down there. So
I don't think both of them can play together. You know, mm-hmm. It's hard to play on the court. You got 4 left-handed guys.
Yeah, and plus you got two guys that are the same.
But one thing about Zion, he's going to be efficient. He ain't going to shoot 42%. He's going to shoot 56, 57. So that's a big difference, 4 or 5 possessions.
Yeah, for sure.
By the way, you said, he got to lose some weight, though. You know, he got to back away from the plate.
Yeah.
Well, the fans to make him lose weight in New York. New Orleans can lay back.
They invite you and say, come on, get some of this jambalaya, baby, some of these po' boys. He can't be doing that.
New York ain't having that. New York will burn him down in the media for it, man.
The league needs Zion win because, like I said, after LeBron leaving a few years, 2 or 3 years, they need that next big name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A young name. John Moran is doing his thing, but they need to, you know, he on the West Coast, he on the East Coast. So both of them on the West right now, but only one plan.
Yeah.
What do you think of Ja's game?
Hey, I mean, he's growing. That's the key. From his first 2 years, this is 3rd year, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
And, what is he doing? He added to his game. He's showing people. He's like Joe Burrow for Cincinnati. He just come out playing, let his game doing the talking.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow. It is Super Bowl.
I love it.
Speaking of Super Bowl, who you got? Who you got a Super Bowl?
There you go.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm still deciding. I'm leaning towards Cincinnati because I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Cincinnati,
Ohio. That's why I thought you were going to say that, man.
You're representing your state now.
Hey, I think about that Rams D and that Cincinnati line. It's like that Cincinnati line is like Swiss cheese.
I know. The 49ers kept the Rams at bay last week. I mean, it was just 49ers couldn't score after he scored 17. So,
yeah.
You know, they probably had the best offensive coordinator, Shanahan, but them gimmick plays don't work in the playoff.
Yeah.
You know, you got to come and play.
Charles Book, by the way, again, The Last Enforcer, if you're an NBA fan like us, absolutely have to read it. Tons of stories. The one that always stood out to me, and I wanted to just get the behind the scenes on it, is why did you slap Barkley? And because I've heard this story like just in circle. It's like a weird NBA legend. Like it happened, but no one really saw it happen. And so
in this book, the reason why I smacked him was because in a game in Phoenix, he did this to my chin and said he was playing around. And then in the lockout, he said something smart in the paper. Isaiah said the same thing, but something about the Knicks ain't this and ain't that. If my name got something to do with that organization, you can't talk about it. And in a bad way, that's why I smacked him. About the Knicks, it was a lockout, and I told the press, when I see him, I'm going to smack the shit out of him.
Sure enough.
That's what I did.
Good for you, man. That's great.
Hey, Oak, you a man of your word, aren't you?
It has to be. If you're a leader, you got to stand up what you say. That's why he has TNT right now. So... Mm-hmm. I'm going to see him again.
you're in Atlanta a pretty fair amount, are you not?
Yeah, I'm in New York, though, too.
Right.
So
yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got extra security now at TNT. Book came out, they got about 12 more security guards.
Half of them are looking after the Krispy Kremes, though, so you got to – goes both ways. Oh, damn. Anything else you want to talk about in the book that you think people are going to love? Because, I mean, I could ask you questions for 15 days about these stories.
In this book, it's just a good easy reading book, and stuff happened. You know, a lot of good stories. So, man, I just want people to really see the inside of everybody been talking about this, talking about that on different podcasts. I just want to give people the real stuff. And once this book come out and people start reading, they're going to stop listening to a lot of podcasts.
Oh, my God.
I better get on y'all A-game.
Hey, I got my copy last night, Oak, so I'm going to say
like
thank
Obama,
you.
MC Hammer, I'm going to drop the mic. Hey, you know what? You got to drop the mic. It's over.
Hey, I got my copy last night, so I want to say thank you. I'm going to start reading it because after I read this, you might convince me to do mine.
Hey, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Hey, you know me. I got a lot of stuff, too. I might have to follow in your footsteps, man. Yeah, like, okay, I got to follow.
This is my A-. I'm still coming with my A+, you know, minute.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to give it a little room because this book going like, wow.
But it's an appetizer, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Advertising, and then all the people serving the food got on, all the females got on two-piece. So you gonna eat your advertising quick and come back.
Love it. The book is called The Last Enforcer, a memoir by from Charles Oakley. One of the best to ever do it. We appreciate you, man. Good luck with the book, and if you ever need anything from us, man, we're always here for you.
Yes, sir, Charles.
Thank you, Rob. You still got my ring, though. Man. I wanted that ring, too.
Which one was that? I can't remember. You know, I got so many.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that.
All right, brother. Hey, appreciate you.
Hey, Oak, send him a slap in the mail.
He's family, man.
I was supposed to see Marcus Campbell this week, but I had to cancel. So we got a reunion at Alabama, so man, I was hate that I didn't go now. So I was.
I'm gonna text him and tell him we just got off the podcast together. All right.
All right, brother. All right.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
See you.
Right.
My favorite sound. One of my favorite sounds. Oh, I love that. That just means we sold something, and we don't sell a ton of stuff on this podcast, but we're gonna start. But as we grow our business, and if you have a business that you're trying to grow, whether it's online sales or in-person sales, our friends at Shopify pretty much have you hooked up because they get you that sound way more often than not. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses so that upstarts and startups and established businesses can sell everywhere and sync everything up with Shopify.
Shopify powers millions of businesses.
Millions.
Millions and millions of businesses from down the street to around the globe. Reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Synchronize your online and in-person sales.
Yeah, it's just showing you how to do it right, man. That's what Shopify does. They start when you're small, and they grow with you till you're a big old business. Plus, you gain insights as you grow because they have detailed reporting so you know your conversion rates, your profit margins, pretty much, like we said, all the stuff you need to know to like be a real business. It's more than a store. Like I said, Shopify grows with you. This is possibility, and it's all powered by our friends at Shopify.
If you want to grow, go to shopify.com/bigshop, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/bigshop right now. Right now, right now. Shopify.com/bigshop.
All right. Well, a huge thank you to Charles Oakley for coming on. And like I said, check your mail because you got something coming your way.
Let me just say this. If I get a slap, B Hart, you're going to get one too.
He's going to walk up to you. He's going to two piece your ass. He ain't going to know what happened. He'd be like,
hey,
hell?
I didn't take a ring from Charles Oakley.
Hey, I didn't take one from him either.
Yeah, you did. And then you taunted his ass about it. Like, that's the one thing you're not supposed to do to Oak is taunt him.
Hey, you know, bad habits are hard to break, man.
Dude's coming for you. You just apologized to him and then you set him up for another one. Oh, God, man. We thought you were off the hook for a minute.
I know it, man. Now I'm seeing him like looking over my shoulder.
the crazy part about it is he said it twice. Usually guys like that say something once, you know, they mean it. He said it twice. That means you may want to put that ring in the mail. Yeah,
he don't want that. It says Ori on it. He don't want that. He don't want it says Oakley. They can change it.
And then Knicks and not Rockets. That's what he wants. Huh? Can't be sending him a Rockets ring and be like, here, man. Yeah. You got to go to SoFi this weekend, didn't you?
Yes, my first time.
Finally got to get in the building. How is the building?
The building's awesome, man. It's amazing. The facilities are fantastic, man. I had Melissa, Joe and Sharon Hernandez. They own Melissa's Produce. They invited me and my wife, and we went, and it was a great time, man. It was VIP service. I got to see so many different celebs. So it was fun, man. The game was great. Y'all saw the game, but
yeah.
I think the fact that it's weird when you have these stadiums with these nice-ass screens, and you find yourself watching the damn screen instead of the game. I'm like, hold on, man.
Do that all the time. Yeah.
So, you know, because once you look up and you want to see the instant replay, it's like you glued to it, like, oh, they're about to run another play. And next thing you know, everybody's cheering. You're like, oh, what happened? So, but great stadium, man. Great game. More importantly, great food. Ambiance was fantastic. And the Rams got a win. So,
they sure did. And we're going to the Super Bowl, baby.
It wasn't looking great for a minute, but you got
No, it. I won't be out there. I won't be out there. Not now, unfortunately.
Nah. He's got work.
Yeah.
That thing got in the way again. Called work.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. So, did you run into anybody while you were out there? You said, that, I mean, I saw they were doing like celebrity candid camera on TV. It was like Leonardo DiCaprio and Magic Johnson and Gavin Newsom, and it was like everybody.
Gavin Newsom was sitting in front of me.
Did he have a mask on?
No.
I didn't think so. Everybody was posting pictures of Gavin Newsom not wearing a mask yet.
Well, he kept taking it off, so I just count that as not really having it on. Yeah,
but like this week, every school kid in California has got to wear a mask to school starting this week. And he's in the game. He's just not even trying.
Well, he kept taking it off. You know, he's like, you know, it's so weird because now when people actually take a picture, you pull your mask down, you take it off, right. And you're like, shit, hey, still COVID, even though if I'm taking a picture, not. COVID's not going to say, hold on, you're taking a picture. Let me wait, hold on, sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You good? Yeah, you know, okay, I'm back. Yeah.
I got, you know, I talked to one of my favorite comedians, Cedric the Entertainer.
You know, oh, you got to see there. Cedric?
Yes, yes. Steady. He was there. Magic was there. Those are the only people I really talked to. Of course, you know, my favorite athlete of all time. I followed him around like a little kid because we was in the same suite. Dave Winfield.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
I don't know my love affair with Dave, do you?
No, please.
Yes. You know, one of the greatest athlete ever that nobody ever talks about. Starred in every sport. Yeah. Football, basketball, baseball. He could do it all, man. I even think he played lacrosse, but he was one of the greatest athletes. I remember my first Yankee game, I went to go watch him, and he was just talking to the fans. He warmed up a little bit. Line drive was shot to him. He threw a frozen rope from right field all the way to third base and tagged somebody. I was like, oh, this guy's the greatest, man. And then had the ability to get to know him and to sit next to him in the game. It was just, I was like a little kid in the candy store, man.
You fangirled out on him a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Little bit.
And I talked his ear off. You know how you meet somebody, I've been knowing him for a while, but this is the first time we ever sat down for that long together. So we was like, I was just talking his ear off.
He seems like he's a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He seems like he's a good dude.
Really good dude. His wife is awesome too. Yeah.
That's cool.
Now, I text you and I asked you, because based off what I was seeing on the TV, it was a lot of red. And SoFi Stadium, I asked you to what's the number breakdown? What's the percentage breakdown? So what did it look like to you?
It looked like it was about 65-75%, man. And it was, I guarantee if you took everybody who was wearing 49ers jersey and just made them all sit next to each other, I guarantee you, I think all the stadium except for maybe about four sections would have been all 49ers fans, and it was bananas, man. And I sent you the picture, right?
Yeah.
And it was just all red. Yep. And it was the craziest thing, man. But 49ers fans, they traveled. They came out in droves.
Yeah.
But the crazy part, man, the tickets were expensive.
Yeah.
I guess that's Silicon Valley.
Oh, they live in San Francisco. They don't care about that. It costs $8 million to buy a house in San Francisco. They don't give a shit about how much the tickets cost.
But also, the reason why there are so many fans there, it's not just them coming from Northern California. There are a lot of 49er fans that live in L.A. Mm-hmm. Because the Rams left, and then you came back. So they had to be fans of somebody. So who was it? It's the Raiders, and it's the 49ers. So they're not going to change their loyalties now that the Rams are back. So that's just what it is. Like the Rams home stadium, depending on who's coming in, could feel like an away game.
Yeah. You know, it's the first time I ever felt that was when I was a Laker and we would play the Knicks when the Knicks were good. And all of a sudden half the damn stadium is all Knicks fan. And, you know, it's all the guys that work out here that, you know, the transplants and stuff like that. So it's just funny that you say that, because I know a lot of people are from Cali. They got mad at the Rams when they left and became 49er fans. I'm like, well, they're back. Oh, it's too late. 49ers are my team now. But I guarantee you, if the Rams win this, they'll be back.
Oh, yeah. I was always a Rams fan. What are you talking about? Yeah. I was always a Rams fan. Yeah. Yeah. That happens to us here in Atlanta a lot with the Braves. Like if the Red Sox come to town or the Yankees come to town,
they just
pour out of the woodwork, man. Same thing. Falcons play the Patriots, all the damn Tom Brady's a great. Oh, they all pour out of the freaking woodwork. Goes, damn. Which like is nice, by the way, that people from New England no longer can yell about Tom Brady because his ass is done.
Hey, and the fact that he didn't even give them a shout out in his farewell speech?
He did not.
No.
He did not. He won six titles and played for what, 20 years?
20 years.
And was a superstar in Boston. And he didn't even give him a, hey, by the way, we appreciate you. I think he retweeted their little goodbye message to him and was like, I appreciate you guys. I was like, that was it.
And then Belichick said something, and then Tom replied. So it was a lot of passive aggressive back and forth between the two.
It's just weird how that happens, man. You know, 20 years there. I can understand if it's like 4 or 5, but it's 20 years.
Most of your career.
Yeah.
I mean, he must be pissed. He's got to have a little bit of like anxiety and hostility toward them for that.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation, but I will tell you.
You know how we athletes are. We can get our feelings hurt.
Y'all carry a grudge, man. Damn. Shaq's still mad at that one writer who didn't give him the unanimous MVP vote. Like, I mean, you guys carry grudges. Like, y'all hang on to shit.
You know, it's funny. You know, I held a grudge.
Charles Oakley's still mad at you for winning his ring. I mean, like, you guys hang on to stuff.
Hey, but you got to learn how to let it go, though, man. You know, as you get older, you know, I know Tom is like, what, 70, 75?
Something like that, yeah.
He's knocking on the door.
He'll sit back and realize it ain't worth the gray hairs, the whole grudges, man. And for me, I realized that I don't hold a grudge. I don't even hold a grudge against – I mean, let me stop lying. I can't even let it come out of my mouth.
No!
I'm not even going to let it come out of my mouth.
Yeah, because you was going to sit here and lie on your own platform.
I don't even have a grudge against them, but I do. Danny Ainge, I still hold a grudge.
You're going to take that with you to your grave.
Hey, I'm going to take it to my grave. Him and the Suns, I'm going to take it to my grave.
Here lies Robert Horry, 7-time NBA champion. Hit Danny Ainge with a towel. It'll be there forever.
And no, both of them going to be at the pearly gates of heaven. He going to be looking at each other crazy, be wanting to fight at the gates.
Hey, you got that right. I put him in a chokehold.
The gates of heaven. The gates of heaven opened up. Robert Horry got Danny Ainge in a chokehold.
We just playing.
St. Peter gonna bounce you out of there like James Dolan kicking Charles Oakley out of the garden.
Now you get a slap.
He's gonna show you the door. By the way, Tom Brady retires with the most passing yards ever, the most passing touchdowns ever, the most completions ever, the most playoff passing yards ever, the most playoff passing touchdowns ever, the most playoff completions ever, the most wins ever, the most playoff wins ever, the most Super Bowl wins ever, and the most Super Bowl MVPs ever.
That is amazing.
Insane that's
but
a real
thing. So what? Well, go home, Roger.
Let's see.
Go home.
Now we're looking at that one. You blame that the guy up in Seattle. What the fuck? Give the ball to Beast Mode.
Oh, yeah, okay. Pete Carroll. Yeah.
Deflate Gate, Spy Gate.
Matt Ryan.
Duck Rule.
Falcons defense. I mean, come on. You know, it's like, yeah, he's, oh, God.
Hey, that mug, he must have went over to the Celtics and been like, yo, man, let me borrow that leprechaun and never gave it back. Oh, God. Because that got to be the luckiest dude ever, man. You know, think about it. Because most guys, you think about what went on with the Astros and how bad they talked about them and they cheating scandal. But with them, they just brush it to the side.
The Patriots are like, scandal?
Yeah.
We got a scandal every year. Which one are we going to give this one a creative name? That's all. Spygate, Deflategate. We'll come up with a name for it. It'll be fine. No one will remember. Yeah.
I'm sure he's a nice guy and all, but I have a – Look, I don't dislike him. I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I'm so glad he is out of the NFL. I am happy.
Yeah, and that's usually with the all-time greats. You're happy to when they walk away, it's like, hey, congratulations. You had an amazing career. He is the greatest football player ever. I'm sorry. I don't know if there's anybody in their individual position that's accomplished more than what Tom Brady accomplished. I hate to say that. Every fiber of my being hates to say it. He's the greatest that's ever played the game. I don't know how anybody else even holds a candle.
Is he the greatest or is he just the most accomplished?
No, he's the greatest.
I think he's the most accomplished because I don't think he's the greatest.
You saw a man at 41 years old leave a 20-year legacy, go to Tampa Bay with just pieces of just carpet, like nothing.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Rob, because they were just a quarterback away from being a good team. They had all the pieces.
Oh, come on. They had some
of
the pieces.
Why do you think he went there? Because he knew he could just slide into a slot.
Well, he went there, and then he got Gronkowski to join him and this one to join him. And then they built around him more or less. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. Like, at 41, everybody went, he's going to go to where? To
but,
Tampa?
You know, the crazy part, though, is if they wouldn't have lost AB, and they might have went back, man.
They very easily could have.
If they weren't injured and they didn't have the turmoil,
44 years old.
Nah, the Rams still would have beat them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's your fandom speaking. Hey, rock and roll.
Jalen Ramsey, I guess we'll never know. Everywhere, man.
look, I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess not, because Tom's done. His ass is done. Did we want to mention the Brian Flores thing? Do you know what's going on with that? Rob, have you heard anything about that? Brian Flores, yes, the former coach, yes, of the Dolphins.
Yes.
Suing the NFL for racial discrimination. A lot of it centered around the fact that we just talked about Bill Belichick. He was texting with him. Belichick's congratulating him on getting the Giants job. And Flores is like, I don't interview for the Giants job for like 3 days. And then he was like, oh, yeah, shit, that's my bad. That's Brian DeBall they just hired. But they're still they're still going to interview Brian Flores to fulfill the Rooney Rule. Man. And it's just the whole thing is just wild. But Brian Flores putting his whole career on the line to do this.
Yeah, he's, you know what, you have to stand up sometimes. You know, he's going to be right there with Kaepernick, I believe, in getting blackballed out of the NFL because, you know, when you think about the NFL, you would, so it's not like, you know, the other two major sports to have a lot of foreign players on the team. You know, if you really think about it, the NFL is mostly, you know, Americans. You know, it's all Americans. You don't have, unless you get a punter or a kicker that comes from Australia or something like that.
Yeah.
And you would think that this day and age with all the diversity and all the stuff that goes on, that there would be more than just, you know, one black head coach now? It's just one, right?
Yeah.
Just one.
Tomlin. Just one.
Yeah.
Just one. And but I will give it up to Tampa Bay, though. I think all their assistant coaches are black, right?
I think so, yeah. Raheem Morris is there.
No, Raheem Morris is in L.A.
Yeah,
that's right. I forgot.
They have Todd Bowles and they have Byron Leftwich.
Raheem Morris used to be their head coach. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And, and if Leftwich doesn't get a head coaching job, you know, and I hope Tom Brady get him a stamp of approval. But it's just, to me, it's just so weird. If you think about it, we had to fight for that for so long in the NBA, and now we have, I think it's 12 black NBA coaches.
I don't know how many, but it's a pretty fair amount. Yeah,
it's way more than one.
It's way more than NFL. And and so you hopefully, man, you hope that this doesn't, you know, tarnish his, what he was able to do, because he was, you know, I was a fan of his. He's a good coach. You know, Miami, it's like, well, he had this and Tua got hurt. They didn't have running backs that got hurt. They left the organization. You know, so many things that happened, but he was able to still have a winning record. And that's why I can never understand how, when it comes to black coaches, that's across the board, they can have winning records, still get fired, and then takes them 2 to 3 years to either get another job. And you can have a white coach that has a fucking losing record year after year and keep getting hired. You know, we talked about this before, how you keep recycling these coaches and not giving somebody else. It just boggles me, man.
Yeah.
Speaking about recycling, Josh McDaniels is not a head coach in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I heard that.
Who's been a long time, you know, assistant to Bill Belichick and has had other options. Matter of fact, you remember,
he was head coach in Denver when Tebow was there.
And he was supposed to take the coach job, and then he backed out. And a lot of people think, right. And he's still getting an opportunity. Well, Josh McDaniels has is Bill Belichick coming with him? Because that's the only way he has success. He doesn't have success on his own.
Yeah. But he's getting shots. Lane Kiffin, God bless him, still getting shots. You know, how many programs has he tanked in his day? minus
Jim
FAU,
Harbaugh.
Which was Jim Harbaugh. I mean, you got a lot of guys that are getting second chances. But my thing, my big kicker with the Brian Flores story is the allegation that Dolphins owner Stephen Ross offered him $100,000 a game to lose so they'd get a better draft pick.
I believe it. And
I just want to say, any NFL team that wants to put me at the helm, I will 0-17 you straight into a number one pick. For $100,000 a game, I will get you to 0-17 without a problem. I'll read the paper. I'll play video games. I ain't got no interest in your team, but I will take that $100,000.
Who wants to play? I'm just going to roll the ball. Let's go play. Just pick up, man. You want to sub? Come out. But, man, when I heard that, man, I was like, you know what? That's one of those ones you would, if it would have been me, you know, you had to, I was like, okay. Did I just hear that right? I'm going to go back into his office. I'm going to record this shit. I'm going to go home and play it to my wife or some of my boys, my agent. Look what this motherfucker just said to me, man.
Yeah.
Because that is like such a crazy story that nobody's going to believe it. And so, and now you got my word versus your word. And so.
You know who believed it? Hugh Jackson.
Yep.
Because Hugh got on Twitter, the former coach of the Browns, and said, oh, no. We had a similar arrangement in Cleveland. Hugh's record in the years he was there, 3-33-1 or something like that. He won three
games.
Something
like that.
He won three games, 3-36-1 or something. But
did
yeah.
he get $100,000 every game?
He never said, but he insinuated that he was getting paid for losses.
Yeah, he never specified the amount, but he said it was along those lines.
Yeah.
Wow.
So apparently this is a thing.
I got my competitive nature, man. I don't want to lose the fucking marbles. And so I don't want to, even though I'm
like,
not
you're a player. You're not an owner. And an owner looks at it from all, like you've talked about this. Owners,
no, as a coach.
Only,
yeah.
Yeah, and coaches too, yeah. But owners have their, they don't give a crap. They have no competitive nature. Owners yeah. just want, unless you're Mark Cuban and you're involved in everything your organization does, they're just looking at numbers. Mm-hmm. They're just looking at, okay, well, if we go, you know, 1-6, 1-15 or, you know, 2-14, we get a better draft pick, pay this guy to lose. They're not thinking about competitive nature. Owners always have a something up their sleeve, and it's never good. It seems like.
Yeah. They probably have them trading places bets and shit going on. Like,
oh, yeah.
My team can be worse than yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only way this is going to change is, or any way change is going to be implemented, it's going to start at the top. Like, a team is going to have to be, or multiple teams are going to have to be sold. You're going to have better leadership. And I salute what Brian Flores is doing and coming out. And, you know, with this class action lawsuit, obviously, hopefully he'll have more people to join. That's exactly what you need for a class action lawsuit is other people to join you. And the report is that there are other people who are willing to come out. But I do think the only way you can get this to change is if you have enough evidence that forces some of these owners to sell and sell to minorities.
But you know what? The NFL, oh man, it's not that. You know what I mean? The NBA will give anybody a shot to get in, own a team. But I mean, we talked to Mark Cuban, and Mark Cuban even said, and this is a different sport, but in Major League Baseball, he couldn't buy a team. You're not the right kind of owner.
Right.
I think he was trying to buy the Rangers or something. They were like, you're not the right kind of owner for us. And he's like, what?
So I have to ask you this question. Is NFL and the MLB more like NASCAR?
Closer, yeah. Yeah.
Probably. And in the sense of makeup of ownership and direction, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You know,
the NFL is a dictatorship. Why? Because the shield is the face and the owners are the face of the league, where the NBA is the opposite. The players are the face of the league.
Yeah. So this is.
Ain't it weird, though, how, you know, like, even when the owners go down to the field, they always, like, highlighting the owners, like, boom, in their booths, boom. And so
they're always showing Jerry Jones or, Arthur Blank's kiss of death on the sideline, you know.
I think you guys have the best owner, though. What do you think?
Who, Arthur Blank?
Yeah. And he's like one of these supposed. I don't know anything about any NFL owner, so they say he's supposed to be like one of the best NFL owners. So I don't know anything about is he?
Well, Arthur is. I give Arthur credit in a few areas. He's very invested in the Atlanta community. Spends a lot of money on his foundation and a lot of money helping neighborhoods around the Benz and such like that. So he's very involved. He's also very forthright and frank. Like, so if you sit down with him and you'll ask, he's not afraid to answer questions. He'll go into anything. He'll kind of talk about whatever. He's, from all what I know of him, and I've only met him a handful of times, extremely nice, extremely cordial, very polite. He doesn't seem like he's, and he lets his guys kind of run his team. Like, he doesn't get too involved. But then you get those stories of like, well, he told Julio Jones he was going to be a Falcon for life and then let him walk. Well, that's not his place to even say that. So he needs to just be quiet sometimes. But I know of him, he seems like he's very good.
I heard a story like at one point he still paid everybody at the facility over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
That's probably true. I don't know if it is, but it sounds like something Arthur would do.
That sounds like
something he would do.
See, to me, that's just, you know, when you wealthy, you know, he ain't rich, he's wealthy. That you can still realize that these people that work for you are now, you know, barely, you know, getting by, and for you to still pay them for a job they're not doing, that to me just seems like this just screams a good dude, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like B-Dog was saying, the ownership of the NFL needs a shakeup. And if anything comes of this Brian Flores story, I hope something is done about that, because even the fact that you have to have a Rooney Rule is out of control stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is out of control stupid. But it is what it is. Speaking out of
because
control.
Speaking
of out of control stupid, the Washington Commanders? Redskins went from the Redskins to the folks that killed him. The Washington Commanders. I don't know how to feel about it.
I thought it was a joke when they said Commanders, right? This is not the name, right?
Somebody was on Twitter going, how do I cheer for them? Is it let's go Commanders? Let's go Commando? Let's how do you cheer for that? It's just,
like you went from like, you know how at one point they was trying to do this thing to get rid of the tag owners? It's like, and now
they call them governors?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like, now it's called Commanders. I'm like, you still having that power over people, and you say, oh, I command you to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
Or other than that, you will get punished. You know, who came up with this shit, man?
2 years, man. It took them 2 years to boil that one up.
They should have stayed as the football team. They really should have stayed as the Washington football team.
I'm okay with it. At first, Washington football team, I was like, this is the stupidest thing ever. But I settled into it. I was fine with it. You should have just left it.
They could have just said the Washington Reds. You know, I know it's a Cincinnati Reds, but at least they keep the R. I just thought that was going to be because I'm not even like that last R, Redskins R. I thought it was a cool logo. And now it's like Commanders. I'm really interested to see what their logo is going to look like. The word Commanders.
They have like a variation on the W where they're just going to kind of focus on the W for Washington. I haven't seen any Commanders official logos yet though, but yeah, that's a
okay. Aye, Commander.
Yeah, really.
They've officially turned into an Arena League football team.
You don't have to pay a coach to lose those games. The Commanders are just going to, it's like we have a shitty name. We will tank. It's awful. But yeah,
and it's funny thing. I heard some of the, players like, oh, cool. These uniforms are cool. I'm like, man, stop lying.
Get out of here.
Stop lying, dude.
It's a transfer.
It reminds me when Dream and Clyde was when we changed the Rocket uniforms, those ugly pinstripe blue ones. They were like, oh, these uniforms is cool. Man, stop lying. These things are ugly as hell.
Dude, and I'll tell you, man, there's never been, while I hope the NBA brings back the Supersonics, there's never been an uglier uniform than the green and yellow Supersonics. I mean, just it had its moments where it could look cool, but sometimes it just looked dreadful.
Yeah
those old Sonics uniforms with the pale green. It was like, oh, dude. All right, worst uniforms in the NBA. Who's got them?
In the NBA?
In the NBA right now. Who's got the worst uniforms?
I have to go with Utah.
Some of them are,
A couple, not all of them. Ones that Carmelo,
classic whites aren't bad.
Yeah,
classic whites aren't bad.
I don't like the mountains across that. It looks too much like, I would think that would belong to Denver.
Looks like stuff. Bush beer to me. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
The mountains on it. Yeah.
A Prudential.
Prudential. What do you think, Ben?
That's a good question.
For a minute.
And the Warriors' new uniforms are ugly. Those blue ones with Warriors across the front?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Brooklyn ones where it's sort of like, looks like a handwritten. It's like, and it's not the full word Brooklyn, it's like the abbreviation.
B-K-L-Y-N or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not a...
Oh, yeah, they paid homage to, like, the graffiti on the subways.
Yeah, I don't like that, though. Yeah, I don't know, just something about it looks very, I don't know. I want to say unprofessional, but that's an extremely white word to use. It looks very unprofessional to me. You know.
I'll say this... I'm conflicted with this jersey because it kind of looks great. It looks cool, but then it really does because it looks screen printed. The Suns, the Valley jerseys.
Yeah.
The background kind of looks real screen printy-ish.
Yeah.
Like somebody just did something on a computer and printed it out and said, here, take it.
Yeah, they are ugly.
Well, the Sun's purple with the streaking sun. I don't like that one either. Yeah, that's the old Suns. But every now and then they'll break them out. And, I don't know. I don't like those, though. All right.
Yeah,
well,
it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird looking. All right, well, let's just do a big shot of the week, and we'll wrap this show up this week. But by the way, Charles Oakley was great. Thank you to Oak for joining us. Holy cow, I could listen to him tell stories for like a day.
Yeah, you got to watch what you say about Oak over Zoom, because you just never know if he can reach through that computer or that laptop and give you a good slap one good time. Dude, you just never know.
I love that he says Tia to hire more security when he's in town for Chuck. I love that. Big shot of the week this week's going to
be. Hey, hold on for the big shot. You know what? That would be some money right there. We talk about all these celebrity boxing things.
Oh,
that would
God.
Make some money. Well, Chuck
versus Charles. Charles and Charles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oakley versus right Barkley. There. Oh.
Hey.
That's I mean, no offense.
Hey.
Oh. Barkley's just packed on the LBs over the years.
Hey,
and you saw Oak looked like he could go right now.
Hey, what's the video game where you had to hit the dude in the belly? You remember when it was?
Oh, you're talking about King Hippo from Tyson's Punch Out, where you had to jab him in the tummy so he would just go and fall backwards.
Yeah, that's Charles right there. He'd be King Hippo.
Oh, put that on a shirt. Mm-hmm. King Hippo, Chuck with a little crown on and the boxing gloves. Oh, God. Big shot of the week this week is going to go to Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, high school football coach Brian DeLallo, and here's why. Pennsylvania got crushed with snow the last few weeks. I mean, they've just been clobbered. Well, when the snow hit, he canceled the football's team weightlifting for the day on one of the days that they were out of school, and he said, your weightlifting for the day is find an elderly person or a disabled person in your neighborhood and shovel out their driveway. That's today's workout. So he sent all those kids out to the community, finding either an elderly or disabled person who's just socked in with the snow and shovel out their driveway. Those kids got out there and busted their asses and shoveled out driveways all over their community. And he counted that as their workout. And that was their workout. And it went viral, like super viral. And he just said, hey, this isn't me. This is the previous coach, Jeff Matheny, who installed the tradition. They'd been doing it for 25 years up there, where it's if they have a bad snowstorm, cancel practice, and the kids go out and shovel driveways. Just a cool little thing that you can do to help your community. Nothing huge. You could be saving lives, but just a real good thing to do for the other people that live around you.
So. First of all, I'd be like, man, I ain't shoveling my own damn snow. What's wrong with you, coach?
By the way, have you ever shoveled snow?
Hell no, man.
That shit ain't easy. That is hard work.
That's why I said I ain't shoveling no snow. I'm going to lift some weights.
Work, man. Yeah, you just like, nah, I just lift it. I'm good.
But you think about it, he's like, well, first of all, coach, my parents are elderly, so I'm just going to do our own driveway. I'll see you later.
You're such a cop-out, you shit, man. Wow. Wow. No, my folks are old, so I'm just going to shovel my own driveway. Yeah. I look out for me. Robert Orton looks out for number one.
And the crazy part about it is that's a tradition that can continue for forever because it's always going to snow every year in Pennsylvania.
In Mount Bethel, Pennsylvania, yeah, you bet your ass it is.
It is a global warming now.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
You know, this is global warming coming
5-10 years, Pennsylvania be Florida. You know what I mean? Like,
follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Hey, guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball season is back, and the Podcast Park has the best local baseball podcast to help get you ready for another season. Check out the Braves Country Podcast, where we dig deep into the soil of life in the Southeast, the people, the music, the food, and, of course, Braves baseball. Or try Hardball with Chris Domino, the long-running baseball history series with in-depth conversations from the players and people that shape the game. And KMAC has the latest Braves updates every week with a Frozen Rope Report. Get these and all of our podcasts at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. All brought to you in part by Associated Credit Union.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.